It's time to talk UK sports with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. This is the Leach Report Radio Network. Join in the discussion by tweeting your questions to at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com. And you can call 877-904-1080. Now, along with an outstanding lineup of guests and broadcast to the most passionate fan base in America, the Big Blue Nation, here's the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to the Leach Report. And we are live, no best of, on this day after Christmas. We are here, and we're going to be chatting with Larry Vaught from over in Danville, from Chris Fisher from the Cat's Paws, and Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart, will join us to talk a little bit about Kentucky's bowl game matchup with Penn State and the college football playoff, etc. That's our guest lineup today here on the show, presented by Sleep Outfitters. Hope you guys had a very Merry Christmas for our family. It was just a nice, relaxing day with family and a lot of friends and good fun, good stories, good food, and very relaxing. So hopefully it was similar for you. And now we shift into a big week with Kentucky taking on Louisville Saturday and then the Citrus Bowl game against Penn State on Tuesday. And a thought occurred to me after Kentucky beat Carolina, as we get to our Wildcat News of the Day, a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. A thought occurred to me after Kentucky beat North Carolina that if Kentucky, the basketball team, can win at Louisville this Saturday, and the football team can win the bowl game, that 10 days ought to offset that week in November when Kentucky lost to Georgia and then got blown out by Duke and then lost down at Tennessee. And I don't know that the fan base has really recovered from that week, maybe until last Saturday. And it started, at least, kind of a spiritual reboot, if you will. The Big Blue Nation started with that win over the Tar Heels. Amazingly, I had a sense that there was just a sense that there was almost no chance they were going to beat Carolina, which made no sense to me because Kentucky had gotten better, and Carolina doesn't guard much. And so Kentucky's got good size. Carolina doesn't block many shots, so they ought to be able to score inside. And if they can make some shots, and then, boy, what a game Ashton Hagans played. So it was a game, and I think Kentucky was just a very slight underdog, so that reflected what the general public out there, the sporting public, felt of Kentucky having certainly a good shot to get the win. And they looked very impressive in doing that. So anyway, I think we'll talk with a couple of our guests about this, but I sense that these next couple of games could fully get Kentucky fans over that week back in November. I liked Ashton Hagans' play, and so did others. He was named SEC Freshman of the Week. I think this was on Monday. We had recorded shows on Monday and Tuesday, so we're catching up a little bit. We had Ben Roberts on the show a week or two ago. We were talking to Ben, and I remember saying that I thought Kentucky needed three things, really. They needed somebody to establish control of the point guard position. They needed to be able to make outside shots. And they needed to get some kind of inside defensive presence from Nick Richards and or E.J. Montgomery. And, we were in agreement that that was a lot. But the point I made was that, yeah, but you could look down the bench and see where it was possible you could get it. It's really unsettling when you need something and you look at your bench or your sideline and you don't see any hope of finding it. And you have to kind of find a way to disguise it or that you don't have it or find a way to coach somebody into it. Well, here, Kentucky could check off those boxes, at least in this game. Ashton Hagans, I think, is seizing control of that point guard job. Doesn't mean Emmanuel Quickly. I just don't think he'll play as much at point, but he's going to be a key part of this as well as if he's now made, I think, two threes in two of the last three games. They're making outside shots. Keldon Johnson made them. Tyler Hero. And then Nick Richards, I thought, was really good as far as giving him a presence on the defensive glass and with altering shots. So a lot to like about Kentucky basketball right now heading into this matchup with Louisville. Kentucky got up to number 16 in the AP poll, number 15 in the coaches poll. Don't understand how they're still behind North Carolina in both, kind of the same way with the Florida situation in the football rankings. But That is what it is. If you didn't see the KY Wildcats TV documentary on Josh Pascal's battle with cancer and overcoming it, you should definitely look that up. Very well done, little mini documentary, superbly put together and very inspiring. That's at KY Wildcats TV on Twitter. And links to the stories that we talk about each day can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. It's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. We're going to be out at the Hamburg location tomorrow, talking with Coach Ortmeier and Jacob Tammy about the bowl game. So feel free to stop by the Wild Eggs in Hamburg tomorrow if you're in the area. Right now, we're heading to a break. Larry Vaught will join us when we come right back.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
Quarter past the top of the hour, and Larry Vaught joins the program on the Kentucky Branded Hotline. You can read him at vaughtsviews.com and lex18.com. Did you have a nice Christmas, Larry?
Every Christmas is good, Tom, so yes, I did. Thank you.
You got a lot of grandkids, so it's always fun to when you've got young ones in the family.
Yeah, yes, it is. But it's fun. It's fun for old people at Christmas too.
That's true. There's nothing bad about Christmas.
No, I tell you, we all have a good time. So it was a terrific day. Looking forward to many more perfect days.
Let me see if you agree with something I was just talking about. That first full week of November, there was so much hype coming into that Georgia game, and Kentucky loses to Georgia. Then 3 days later, the basketball team gets blown out by Duke. And then the following Saturday, the football team gets upset down at Tennessee. And it felt like the fan base had never really recovered from that. And I sense that recovery got a big boost on Saturday with the win over North Carolina and could be fully rebooted with with a win this Saturday and then a win in the bowl game.
I would say based on, you look at the text messages I got within the first 3 hours after the North Carolina win, I would totally agree with you, Tom, because fans and friends that I haven't heard anything from about Kentucky suddenly were all back in the boat, all this and this. Now, man, maybe I will go to the bowl game now and all like that. So I agree 100% for you. That was a game that I'm sure it helped John Calipari's players' confidence. But I think the fans needed it for their confidence a lot more than what the players did.
You know, I think you're right about that. That's true. I think the players were already starting to come out of it. I think it clearly, you know, a win like that helps just to validate that you know you're getting better. But I think probably it did mean a lot more for the fans.
Yeah, I totally agree. And again, if you could follow that up now and win at Louisville Saturday, which I think is going to be a lot harder than many anticipated, even though I can remember I sat at the Louisville Quarterback Club in October, and my buddy Mike Pratt told everybody there that he thought Louisville was going to be better than they were getting credit for, and I came back 3 weeks later, and Mike DeCourcy came in and said the exact same thing, and I think both those guys were right because I think Louisville is better than most of us anticipated that they would be.
I think this game Saturday is a little like kind of the shoe on the other foot from Kentucky's perspective in that game had tremendous significance for Kentucky because, I guess the way I put it to a friend of mine, Kentucky players, I mean, these guys, most of them, if not all, aspire to play in the NBA. And so they blew the first job interview against Duke. And this was a chance for a redo to kind of, you know, restart to reshape some opinions, and they perform, you know, passed with flying colors. Now they go into a situation where the other team they're playing, Louisville, this is a chance for Chris Mack. Well, I'm sure he wouldn't frame it up this way, but you know, he's following a guy that didn't have much success in this rivalry. So what better way to put your stamp on this job than by, you know, beating the rival in your first opportunity? And for those players to, you know, they've beaten Michigan State. Now if they were to beat Kentucky, they would be nationally ranked.
Yeah, and I think Chris Mack would store up a lot of goodwill for a long time among the Louisville faithful if he pulled that off. And, again, it'll be Kentucky's first true road game, so that's certainly a concern. Even though John Calipari, I think, is, 2-2 in games at the Yum Center since he came to Kentucky, so he's shown he can get a team up there and win. But, yeah, I think this is one that Louisville's got a lot more to gain by winning than what Kentucky does. But on the other hand, Kentucky's had a few days off to go home, kind of rejuvenate there a little bit. You come back, you get in two or three more days of practice, and you go play. So I think this, again, will be a way for Kentucky to kind of validate what it did against North Carolina. So I think the Kentucky guys will be really excited about playing in this game and showing now they can go on the road and win, which will be pretty important knowing the SEC play starts next week.
I know Calipari won't talk to them in terms of what this game means on a long-term prospect because they'll stay in the moment with the players. But you know, this is the kind of game that you need to get because the win over Carolina enabled a lot of people to kind of rethink what they thought about Kentucky, or start to anyway. Now you don't want to take a step back because you don't want this to be the only time you play in the Yum Center this year. And no, this is an important exactly right. win toward that.
Yeah, this is a big game for NCAA seeding. There's no doubt about that. And when you have a chance to be if you could play yourself to a one seed, you definitely get to play in the Yum Center, I think. But if you could get yourself up to the point you're a two seed, you probably get to play. We guarantee you get to play in the Yum Center too. So again, this is an important game for Kentucky, and I think one that they will. I think we'll play, come out and play well because I was so encouraged watching the game against North Carolina just because of the way so many guys played well. I thought even including guys like Nick Richards and E.J. Montgomery who didn't get to play a lot simply because P.J. and Reed were playing so well in front of them. And I even thought it was pretty impressive the way that Emmanuel Quickley, who didn't get to play a lot, but at the end when you needed somebody to step up in there and make two free throws, he just went there and buried them both.
Yeah, and he's starting to hit his outside shot, so that will that alone will ensure, I think, him getting plenty of minutes. But it's been fun to watch Ashton Hagans mature. I mean, he's not anywhere close to the player that he was in that Duke game that we referenced earlier, and he's starting to take control of that position. The two things I like about him, number one, just what he can do defensively, and secondly, I think he has an ability to see passes, if this makes sense. I see him see passes that other guys don't see, and good point guards do that, and are thinking one move ahead. And he can now, if he can just add a couple of baskets a game, Cal talked a little bit about this in the post game. It doesn't have to be, 15 points a game. He just needs to do enough offensively to keep the other guys thinking about him.
Yeah, I would agree because when you get Hagans doing what he did on defense, then when you get Nick Richards coming in and playing with the energy he did, even if it was just for 10 minutes,
yeah,
and blocking a shot and pulling off six rebounds, and again, if he plays like that on defense, if he just lucks out and puts in a follow basket or two for you on the other end when he's playing, then you become a whole different team, and I think that's what they did Saturday. So you can see now there's a lot of, I think there's still a lot of improvement left in this team. And that's one reason I think that probably John stays so encouraged about them because, yeah, they did a lot of things really good against North Carolina, but you can see there's still a whole lot more things they can do even better. And if that's the case, by March, they're going to be a handful for somebody, I think.
P.J. Washington was kind of quietly huge in that game, nearly had a triple-double. It was like 11, 10, 8 assists. Big, big three down the stretch, too.
Yeah, I thought it was his best overall game at Kentucky. I know he's had better scoring games. He's had better rebounding games number-wise. But I thought just overall for everything that he did, I thought it was his best game that he's played at Kentucky. And I thought him and Reed both really did a better job than what they have at times of passing the ball out. And of course, in PJ's case, when you pass it to guys who make baskets, it helps your stats look a whole lot better, and that's part of what he was doing too. But I just thought everything about his game was just superb, and if he plays again like that, and I think he always plays pretty well. I think sometimes he gets a little bit of a knock for not doing enough because I think his game is always pretty good, but I thought just his overall game was just outstanding against North Carolina.
Yeah, he and Reed had a little bit of that Chuck Hayes, Eric Daniels kind of four or five man thing going on.
Yeah, and they just seem to have a kind of a knack for that, and I think that'll be something that you can see kind of continue, because if you don't come over and help off against P.J., then he's usually going to go to the basket with him and score or get fouled. And if Reed and him can kind of keep that chemistry going that way, that's a pretty good flow to have the way that they had it going. And I think that's one thing that really had to encourage John, because I think that's what he alluded to in the summer, in August, he thought he could see coming, and they really hadn't had that. But I think Saturday you saw what those two guys could provide for you.
Well, next time we talk, we'll be on game day from in Orlando for Kentucky Penn State. But just give me an early thought on storylines you're following or whatever it might be leading up to this game next Tuesday.
Well, one thing, my wife and I just got back from Orlando, and it's the day before we left, I ran into a group of Penn State fans who had already came down for the game, and or for Christmas, we're going to stay for the game. And I found out that I kind of thought that maybe this game wouldn't mean as much to Penn State as what it was going to mean to Kentucky because of all that's at stake for the Kentucky program. But talking to my big sample of eight people, I think I was wrong, because the Penn State fans were really excited. They think they're going to have a big group of fans down there, and they talked about how playing Kentucky, and they knew plenty about Josh Allen and Benny Snell. And I think I've underestimated that maybe this game was going to mean more to Penn State than what I thought. So that's one thing I'm looking at. And then, two, I just want to sit back and enjoy this group that won't be here next year one more time, because the things that they have done and helped Kentucky accomplish has been pretty remarkable. And they've all been pretty good guys. I don't know what happened that Jordan Jones doesn't get to play. I kind of hate that, because he's had a much more model season, and I think a far better season than what a lot of people want to give him credit for. And I hate that he's not going to get to be part of this, because I think this is the year he kind of showed some maturity until whatever happened with this. But I think it's going to be a terrific game, Tom, and I still just think, for reasons you can't back up with stats, I just think Kentucky's going to find a way to win. When this, the fairy tale has to have a happy ending, I think, and having 10 wins for Benny Snell and Josh Allen and all, I think that's the only fitting in.
Larry Vaught, thank you much.
All right, Tom.
You can read him at VaughtsViews.com, also at LEX18.com, and on Twitter it is at VaughtsViews. It's the Leach Report Radio Network. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, and Chris Fisher will be next up. Tony Barnhart a little bit later. It's the Leach Report Radio Network.
Find out more about the Voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
Chris Fisher is going to join us next. I'm going to take a minute here and pass along a nice note I got just before Christmas from a listener talking about his grandfather, Jim Proffitt, who passed during Christmas week. Was the week ago, Monday on the 17th. And according to his grandson, Boone, who was rightfully quite proud of his grandfather, he was the last surviving starter on the 52 Cotton Bowl team for Kentucky for Coach Bryant. And that's particularly noteworthy because that's the last time Kentucky won a football game on New Year's Day, which they're going to try to do next week against Penn State. Kentucky won that Cotton Bowl game in 52. The year before, they'd won the Sugar Bowl on New Year's Day against Oklahoma. The only other New Year's Day game Kentucky's played in since then has been the Outback Bowl loss to Penn State 20 years ago. So we send condolences out to the family of a Wildcat great, Jim Proffitt. We'll be back with Chris Fisher on the Leach Report this morning.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
Chris Fisher joins us on the Kentucky Branded Hotline from catspaws.com, and we'll start with the basketball win over Carolina on Saturday, Chris. I was just saying a minute ago that this was a game that kind of re-energized Kentucky fans after that first week in November when football team had losses to Georgia and Tennessee. The basketball team had the loss to Duke, and it just seemed to put a black cloud over the Big Blue Nation at that time. And a lot of that cloud started to dissipate on Saturday with that win against the Tar Heels.
Yeah, no question. Black cloud is exactly how I described it as well. Just seemed to be kind of hanging over the program. And I think for Kentucky fans, as the season goes along, it's all about hope. You know, can this team win the national championship? Do they have what it takes? And I think that hope was kind of taken away in the first game of the season against Duke. And then you kind of have, you know, a suspect resume from there on out. Don't really have any signature wins. And I think the win over North Carolina kind of lit the way, so to speak, for, you know, what this team has to do to win a national championship. I think all the parts are there, and I think the win over North Carolina showcased that.
I was also talking with Larry Vaught a minute ago about the fact that you don't want this game Saturday to be the only one you play in the Yum Center this year, because there's an NCAA regional there, and getting this win Saturday at Louisville, I think would be a key one to have on the resume, mainly because of it's a true road game. That with what you've got in the SEC, as many quality wins as you'll have a chance to rack up in there, you could play yourself into a very high seed.
Yeah, absolutely. I think playing in that, I think it's the South Regional in the Yum Center in the NCAA tournament, outside of your roster is one of the biggest weapons you can have in March if you're Kentucky. And I think that's another reason why the North Carolina win was so big, because I think if you lose that game, it kind of puts a cap on how far you can climb as far as seed lines are concerned. And like you said, Kentucky's going to have plenty of opportunities in the SEC this season to accumulate quality wins. But, you know, when you look at out-of-conference schedule, I think Kentucky would have been 0-3 against I don't know if it was the KenPom or the Net, you know, top 90 teams, and 0-3 away from Rupp Arena. So I think that win went a long way in kind of helping build that resume before the SEC schedule starts, and the win over Louisville would do the same on Saturday.
What were the things that you saw in that game that either didn't think you'd see, or that were the most encouraging for Kentucky fans?
I think number one has to be the play of Ashton Hagans. I mean, everyone will point to the 8 steals, which was absolutely incredible considering the amount of talent that North Carolina has. But he just looks so much more comfortable with the ball in his hands and initiating offense and getting into the lane. He's never going to be, you know, a double-digit scorer. He's always going to look to set up other guys, and he looked much more comfortable in doing that. And the NCAA tournament is a guards game, and guard play is so important by the time March rolls around. And so I think his development in that sense is going to be huge for Kentucky going forward. Reed Travis was absolutely rock solid. I think Kentucky's gotten exactly what they expected from him this season. P.J. Washington did a little bit of everything. And then you have the two wings, Kelvin Johnson and Tyler Hero. Kelvin Johnson looks every bit the lottery pick that he is projected to be. And, you know, Tyler Hero hasn't shot the ball all that well, but you have to think a shooter of his caliber that those shots at some point are going to start to fall for him.
That was interesting that Calipari clearly has developed some trust in Jamal Baker to have him in late stages of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the transfer of Quade Green has certainly opened up an opportunity for him. I was a little surprised to see him get as many minutes as he did on Saturday. I think he got 15 minutes off the bench. Part of that was due to the foul trouble in the backcourt. But very encouraging sign that John Calipari felt comfortable enough to kind of throw him in the fire there. And he's another piece that, could contribute. Everybody thinks of him as a shooter, but anybody that's followed his prep career and or has watched these guys in practice knows that he can initiate offense. He's a pretty good defender as well. So he can do a lot of different things. And I think as the season goes along, we'll have a chance to kind of work himself more and more into the mix.
Kentucky didn't shoot it particularly well, had too many turnovers, but it seemed to me the thing that stood out is just how hard that they played, and they answered every run that Carolina made. Carolina got it to 4 once in the second half, got it to 6 again late, and Kentucky answered, got big rebounds, steals, stops, whatever it might be. And that they're going to need to have that again on Saturday, because that's one thing that has impressed me. What I've seen of Louisville is just how hard they're playing.
Yeah, it seems like for those outside of Kentucky, you know, at least from a national perspective, Kentucky has a reputation as kind of a run-and-gun team, get up and down. And, you know, you heard Brad Nessler and Bill Raftery kind of reference that a couple times. But at his core, John Calipari is a rebounding and a defensive-minded coach. And so for this team to out-rebound the number one team in the country in rebounding by 10, to hold them 22 points under their scoring average, I think has to leave John Calipari absolutely delighted after that game. I do think this team is capable of scoring a lot of points on any given night. I think they're a much better outside shooting team than maybe they've shown for much of the season. But at the end of the day, John Calipari is going to want them to defend and to play with energy, and that's exactly what they did on Saturday. And I think exactly what this team needs to kind of take them to that next level where they can consistently, you know, compete among the elite teams in the country.
Before we talk again next Wednesday, Kentucky will play its bowl game against Penn State. What are your thoughts on their chances?
I think they have a really good chance. To me, outside of the college football playoff and, you know, kind of the New Year's Six highly visible bowl games, bowl matchups are all about motivation. Which team is more motivated coming in? And I think this Kentucky team has no shortage of motivation going into the Citrus Bowl. You have Benny Snell 107 yards away from the rushing record. The fact that Josh Allen is playing in this game tells you a lot about his character, but also about, I think, the motivation of this team to really finish what they started and do something special and, you know, reach 10 wins for the third time in school history. And so I think it remains to be seen how well they'll play, but I definitely think this Kentucky team is going to be highly motivated and ready to play. So I feel pretty good about their chances just based on that alone.
Chris, thanks much.
All right, thanks, Tom.
Chris Fisher from CatsPaws.com, at Chris Fisher 24/7 on Twitter, joining us on the Kentucky-branded hotline. The new net rankings from the NCAA, this is their next step beyond the RPI for the selection committee. Kentucky's up to 22 now after that win over North Carolina, or 21 after that win over North Carolina. A couple of interesting names in the top 10 that might surprise you a little bit. Houston's fifth. NC State is sixth. Duke, Virginia, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Houston make up the top five. Tennessee is eighth on this list. Louisville's 17th. Carolina still one ahead of Kentucky at 20. Mississippi State's in there at 18. They're 17 minutes away from the top of the hour. It's the Leach Report Radio Network. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Two locations, Hamburg and the Palomar Center. We'll be out at the Hamburg location doing this show tomorrow. When we come back, Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football, on the Leach Report Radio Network.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
The Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Back to the Kentucky branded hotline to bring on Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. And the college football bowl season is really starting to crank up now after Christmas. And Tony, we'll start with Kentucky's matchup in the Citrus Bowl against Penn State. To begin, before we talk about that particular game, just give me your thoughts on what Kentucky accomplished over the entirety of this season. Certainly well outperforming expectations.
Yeah, Tom, anybody who's followed Kentucky, and I've been fortunate to be up there and visit with the coaches and players a bunch, it took a lot of – enjoyed what they did this year, starting with obviously breaking the 31-game winning streak against Florida. Watching players like Benny Snell and Josh Allen, you know, really, really excel. So I think it would be great for Kentucky to, you know, finish this thing off and get that 10th win in the bowl game.
What do you like about – you've watched a lot of coaches, not just at Kentucky, try to get something built, but at other places where they've not had a lot of success historically. So give me your take on what Mark Stoops has done to get to this point.
Well, I had long talks with Coach Stoops and then Mitch Barnhart, the athletic director, about how this thing was built. And it was built to last. It was built on a solid foundation. There were not going to be any shortcuts. And when you do it that way, you do go through some rough times. And they did. And people forget the second or third year, there were a lot of people who wondered if Mark Stoops was the guy. But, you know, Mitch Barnhart supported him. They gave him the support they needed. They invested the money in facilities. And one of the things I wrote earlier this year, Tom, is that Kentucky, I thought, is the model of rebuilding a program. You make a commitment, you invest, you hire the right coach, you invest in facilities for recruiting, and then you be patient. And that's what Kentucky's done.
Being patient is always the hardest part of it. But one thing that it seems to me that Stoops has done, because one of the challenges of the Kentucky job has always been the recruiting base. You don't get the number of Division I SEC caliber prospects produced out of the state of Kentucky year in and year out as you do in other states. But at least if, you know, not getting to the number of prospects that come out of Florida and Georgia, for example, but by adding their success in Ohio, it seems they've effectively increased their base.
Oh, there's no doubt. You look at the Kentucky roster and notice the number of players from Ohio. Obviously, Mark Stoops has got great contacts in Ohio. Then you supplement it with players from Georgia and Florida. And the other thing that Kentucky's done, Tom, is that they've gone out and they've gotten the difference makers, okay? You know, they recruit a lot of really good players, but you've got to have a difference maker. You've got to have a Benny Snell. You've got to find a Josh Allen and develop him into one of the best rush ends that we've seen in a long, long time. Those are the things you have to do when you're a school like Kentucky. You're not going to go out and recruit 20 five-stars. That's not the way it's going to work, and Kentucky has done it exactly the right way.
Let's talk about the matchup with Penn State, team that probably should have beaten Ohio State. Then they had a hiccup against Michigan State, inexplicably blown out by Michigan, otherwise just a really solid record over the course of the season. What are your thoughts on Kentucky's chances in that matchup?
Well, I think they've got a good chance if they don't turn the ball over. Tracy McSorley is a great quarterback. He makes big play after big play after big play. So Kentucky can give up the big play. To me, they've got to control the football with Benny Snell and then hit the big pass plays when they present themselves off of the play action. You know, if Kentucky plays their game and doesn't make many mistakes, I like their chances in this game.
What's Benny Snell's place in historically, not just for Kentucky maybe, but within the SEC?
Well, first of all, with Kentucky, I mean, it took Sonny Collins 4 years to run for that many yards, and it's Benny Snell is almost there to break his record. So from a historical standpoint, he has a very good chance to leave as the greatest Kentucky back ever. So that's number one. But everybody recognizes in the conference, when you would play Kentucky, you would talk to people and say, wait a minute, these guys like Snell, guys like Allen, the tight end, I mean, these guys are good players, very good players. And that's been the difference in Kentucky. As one coach told me, said, man, they got some dudes. And that's been the difference at Kentucky. You had a lot of really good players, and you got some dudes.
Let's talk about the playoff and the matchups this Saturday. Both Clemson and Alabama are double digit favorites. Do you see any scenario where they don't advance to the final?
I think they both advance. I think the Clemson Notre Dame game is going to be closer than the experts think. And I don't know. You know, and I don't know what to think about Alabama Oklahoma. When you've got offenses that are that explosive, the difference in that game. I think it'll be a double digit game for Alabama. But when a team scores that many points, you know, averaging almost 50 a game, anything could happen. Oklahoma's offense is historically good. but their defense is historically bad. I looked up the numbers the other day. It's just ridiculous. But the other thing that gets you is they average almost 9 yards a play. Kind of hard to beat a team that's averaging 9 yards a play.
Yeah, good point. How much buzz is there? I don't know if that's the right word, or how much momentum is there, maybe is a better word, for expanding the playoff from 4 to 8 or maybe to 6?
Well, there is discussion, and then there's what's going to happen, okay? There's a lot of discussion, and on social media, and people, you know, the way this year played out. But the reality is, man, this is strictly my opinion for people I talk to. I think when the conference commissioners meet in Santa Clara, they're going to talk about and agree to talk about it, okay? I don't think anything substantial is going to come out of it other than maybe a commitment to have a dialogue about expansion. We're in the fifth year of a 12-year contract. People have been talking about trying to do it in 2020. I don't really see that right now unless some people really change their minds. So I don't think it's momentum. I think there's a lot of discussion, and a lot of people want to see it happen. But that's a far cry from it actually happen, and the people who vote on it vote for it. It
would seem to me that one thing that might push it along a little quicker is if the Big Ten continues to not get into the Final Four very often.
Well, and if Jim Delaney stands up and says, this is not working for me, then yeah. Thus far, all he's done is commit to talking about it.
Yeah.
And that in itself is a significant step. But again, if somebody, you know, talking and doing are two different things.
Tony, I appreciate the time. Hope it's a nice Christmas for you. Happy New Year, and enjoy the games this weekend.
All right, Tom. Great. Good luck against Penn State.
Oh, Tony, where can folks find your work these days?
We are on TMG, the media guys, tmgcollegesports.com, and we'll be filing from there all week.
Good stuff. Thank you, Tony.
Hi, Tom.
At Mr. CFB on Twitter as well, and we'll come back and wrap up this edition of the Leach Report Radio Network in just a moment. Tonight, a slice of Wildcat history, and this day in 51, Kentucky played against UCLA for the first time ever. First meeting between Adolph Rupp and John Wooden. It came at Memorial Coliseum. Kentucky won it decisively, 84-53. Cliff Hagan had 34 points to pace the Wildcats. Coming up tomorrow, we will be on location at the Wild Eggs in Hamburg. Coach Ortmeier will join us on the phone. He's traveling for the holidays. We'll hook up with Jacob Tammy as well. A lot of talk, obviously, about the bowl game. And with Coach Ort, we'll talk about some of the draft prospects for these Kentucky guys, too. And then Friday, it'll be Mike Pratt and Mike DeCourcy talking Cats and Cards.
Thanks for listening to The Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow The Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to leachreport@gmail.com.